Hey guys, thanks for tuning into this episode of Lather Talk. On today's podcast, Gerard and I have a casual chat with our good friend Ross, aka Nova Shaves. We talk about our mutual love of the Blackland Blackbird TI razor, whether this past year was the year of the post-shave, and touch upon the overall state of the wet shaving hobby. And now, on to the episode.
I feel Excelsior is not bad, like, by any means. I don't know. Like, are people really, really, like, you know, clamoring for, you know, slicker soap, you know, and stuff like that? I don't know. I don't get it.
I think it's more that they like other bases, which are older from Barrister & Mann, and they're directly comparing it to, I've heard both people who like Reserve better, which is funny because it's good, but it's more difficult to hit the peak point. And then tons of people like Glissant. They say they like Glissant better.
Like with Reserve, people say that it was so hard to, like, it was so finicky. And then when he did that video with Jared saying like 25 swirls and used like a synthetic brush to it, I like, that's what I started doing, and I'm just like, wow, this actually works. So I don't know, it's just it's weird. I'm really more about the scents, you know, for the most part nowadays. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So I figure, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I enjoy, like, you know, using a new base and you know, kind of fiddling with the unique properties of, you know, how they lather and stuff, but it's not, I don't even know if it's like one of my top things really that I look at anymore.
Yeah, soaps have, I think we've gotten past the everybody reformulating phase that seemed to be like really big, like end of 2019 into 2020. Mm-hmm. And then finally it kind of settled down.
And you're seeing people sorry for interrupting.
Oh, you're good.
It's like little iterations, right? Like, if anything.
Right. Yeah. It's not that I think, yeah, there was that phase where it was like kind of major and then, you know, like small iterations, and it just, like, for me now, it seems like it's very difficult to find a soap that you wouldn't at least consider like good or above average from a performance standpoint. Like, yeah, like, I mean, this is excluding, you know, your traditional type of soaps, like your Arco and Williams and stuff like that. Like, and there's even people that still enjoy those too. But, you know, for the more mainstream artisans, it's, performance is, it's kind of unquestioned now, at least for me. It's really more about finding a scent that I enjoy. Mm. And you know, to your point, and I'm wondering how much more reformulation is really necessary for you. Like, how much better is soap really going to get? I feel like maybe we'll kind of plateau with that for a little bit. Cause I just don't see a need now. I mean, I know there's still some artisans that are always going to be tinkering, but then it just comes to the point of like necessity. Like, do you need to do it? It's like, what's your end goal? And is it going to come at a cost too? Cause you know, that's the one thing with Barrister & Mann, since we've been talking about them, that, you know, from Glissant to, you know, even with Reserve and into Excelsior, they managed to keep that price point the same as they always have, while still excelling and, you know, improving the base itself and the performance. And then even with the PP8 formula for the Soft Heart series, I mean, that's still the same price point as well. And it's, some people like the PP8 formula better than Excelsior. I'm one of those. It's very minor, but you know, it's really just personal preference at that point, but, you know, they've managed to keep that price point the same. And, I think that's really hard to do, because a lot of other artisans have had to steadily just sort of increase as they add more, or, you know, they tinker, you know, more and more. And it seems like it could come at a cost, but Barrister and Man's kind of the exception, I think, to that.
Mm. And Ross, you're primarily talking about artisans who have already been more or less established, right? Having raised the bar for themselves and probably like across the line. But as you are kind of just going through really nicely, kind of recapping end of 2019, beginning and through 2020, would you say it's harder at this point for a brand new soap maker to make a splash on the wet shaving scene because the bar is raised so much?
I do think it is starting to get a little bit more difficult. It's pretty hard to really stand out. I mean, and it's not even necessarily with just, you know, soap performance and scents. You know, like you gotta have a good packaging game. You know, you have to kind of prove that, you know, you can get things out in a timely manner. And I, it's really hard these days. I know that there's still been some that are popping up here and there. And, you know, I don't know that necessarily the artisans that have come up in the last year or two, there's none that I can really think of that I would say have necessarily made a huge splash in the scene, but they've at least established themselves enough and they've gained enough of a following to remain, you know, on the wet shaving scene. But it's really hard to kind of take down the juggernauts that have been around for the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. You know, your Barrister and Man's, your Declaration, artisans like that. It's getting really tough. But, you know, I would say of all the things you could do within the wet shaving scene, obviously, I think I would go out on a limb and say that soap making is probably the easiest thing to do. You're not just gonna, you know, we don't all just have, you know, lathes sitting around to make brushes, or, you know, the machines necessary to make razors and things like that. So soap making is fairly, is the easier side to get into if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's getting pretty hard. I don't want to say it's impossible. And I think there's enough people that have a drive to do it, but it does take a little bit more to sort of convince somebody to sway from these artisans that they've been used to for so long to a brand new artisan that's on the scene. You definitely have to go about it fairly meticulously and, you know, in a different way that will sort of get your name out there, but maybe not, not scare people away.
Mm-hmm. Gerard, would you agree where it is becoming harder, at least a little bit, for a brand new soap maker to kind of get on the radar of your average wet shaver?
Yeah. I think you also have to look at it from the enthusiast's, perspective, is that some, you know, many of us who've been doing this for a while, you know, we have the brands that we're already like attached to. So to add another brand, you know, to kind of like have someone kind of pierce through and, you know, is one thing. And so I think that's all really the difficulty with a new artisan is, you know, breaking through and, you know, maybe you just want to offer it up to, some people and like get their thoughts. And then, you know, you slow roll out, you know, and get your following that way. I think the person, you know, the one that comes to mind the most is, you know, in the past year is probably Spearhead. You know, and Spearhead is still, I don't follow the numbers or I'm not privy to those things, but, you know, but yeah, like kind of how he did it, you know, from 2019 into really 2020 and with the launch of Seaforth, I mean, that's probably as good a launch as you're going to get, you know, to pierce through like this hobby and stuff like that. That's probably the blueprint that I would try to go if I were someone interested, you know, in getting in and stuff like that. And at the same time, he didn't only just do that. He
he went around the communities, he went around, you know, and asked people and wanted honest input and stuff like that. So all of that, I think, really, really helped him and his brand, you know, throughout. So that's probably it. But yeah, I think for anyone else, yeah, it's not going to get easier, you know, not right now, unless people just start, like, you know, dropping off. But no, people still thriving. I think if anything, even with COVID going on, I think 2020 may have been really good for a lot of artisans. It's just crazy, you know, to think about something like that.
That's very true, because I'm just thinking off the top of my head, of the established artisans who moved into bigger spaces, like through 2020 and maybe even beginning of 2021. I know Peter from A&E / the Shaving Club, Shaving Shop and Club, moved into a big space. Heather from Zingari Man is currently setting up a brand new space. Dang it, I had another one in mind.
Ron Will- Sterling.
Sterling, well, of course, yeah. Sterling's always like, Sterling's such a solid, you know, like name artisan, always in the picture. Did Barrister and Man, because we're talking about Barrister and Man, I feel like, did they move or they increased production somehow? I want to say, I might have to go back and check that. Does that sound right?
It's almost like, maybe I don't recall either. It wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, for a lot of them, it's probably a good problem to have. You're just like, you're literally outgrowing the space you have, and you need something bigger. You need bigger production.
Right. They're growing, scaling up during this crazy COVID time. So I totally agree with you. Is basically what we're trying to, the long way of saying. It seemed, despite a lot of shortages in like fragrance components in alcohol for aftershaves, people were able to pivot. And I'm just glad. I think I was expecting more people to close up shop. Not that I ever want that to happen, but I think, you know, luckily that wasn't the case.
Yeah, a lot of people have managed to kind of stay the course. It's good to see. I mean, you never want to see people close down, mm-hmm. Especially under these circumstances. But yeah, I mean, it seems like everyone has kind of stayed the course and been able to, if they're not thriving, I mean, they're still doing well enough to keep afloat, which is good to see. And I think, you know, given how tight knit this community is, I think everyone is sort of looking out for everyone. So I think, you know, we've all got our, you know, our preferences and the people that we support and buy stuff from, but you know, it's a big community, and ultimately when people are needed, then everyone shows up.
Yeah, totally. Well, before I forget, you know, we just rolled right into conversation, but for everyone listening at home, I just want to welcome you to Lather Talk. And I'm your host, John, aka Latherhog. With me, as always, is my co-host, Gerard. Hey, Gerard.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And sitting in our honored third chair is our good friend, Ross, aka Nova Shaves. Ross, we know from West Coast Shavings, The Daily Shave. He has his own YouTube channel and is just an awesome guy all around. Hey, Ross, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Appreciate it, guys. Always enjoy chatting with you guys. Happy to be here.
So, Gerard and Ross, you know, the three of us, these are guys that I don't know how long it's been now. It just seems like that we've had a group chat forever, and we thought it'd be a good chance where in between interviews, we'd like to check in, but there's no reason that Gerard and I couldn't do a little catching up along with our good buddy Ross, who we always want to have him more on the show. And before we knew it, I think a year passed by since the last time he was on, and we had to remedy that. So Ross is on today. We are just hitting whatever topics, kind of wherever the conversation goes, but also we'll be sharing, at the very least, some of our current favorite gear.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And yeah, the time has definitely flown by. Was it even last year at all that we were on, or was it back to 2019? I can't even remember.
It was. So I think we had you on episode 3 or 4, and then episode 6 with Alex from Try That Soap. And
yeah,
we're in like the mid 20s now in terms of, like, I think, total podcast. So it's been a while, for sure.
Crazy.
I'm going back and checking right now just to confirm. Oh boy,
I feel bad. I haven't even talked to Alex in a while. He's just down the street from me, and I haven't checked in with him in a while. We messaged each other actually, I think, back in the fall. But I mean,
in the fall,
it's amazing though. Like, time is definitely it's been flying by, and you know, despite everyone,
his beard's probably like here now.
Oh, I know. Like, yeah.
He's probably gotten like full ZZ Top.
Yeah.
So it was, in fact, the February 4th episode, and the fact that we usually record at least a week or two out, it's been over a year, yeah, since we had you on. So anyway, it's a good thing that you're on today, Ross. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Well, just to keep things going, and I do apologize. See, we're so comfortable around each other that as soon as this thing starts recording, we just jump right into it. And we're talking about some mail calls that we got. And I knew I had to hit record before we missed too much stuff. But let's talk about just like some stuff that we're enjoying right now. So for Gerard and I think we're really checking out a lot of razors. Ross, I know you love your razors too. So since this is changing all the time, I would love to hear top 5 razors. It could be safety or straight razor, whatever, single edge, double edge. Let me know. What's your current top 5, guys?
Well, for me, so it's interesting. For those that don't know, I've kind of actually, over the last year, transitioned back to DE and SE razor. Well, now I wouldn't even say I transitioned back to SEs, because I wasn't really using SEs too much before straight razors, but I've definitely come back to DEs and SEs along the way. Don't get me wrong, I still do enjoy straight razor shaving, but I went through the whole honing venture for about a year, and it was very frustrating, became an even bigger money pit. And so inevitably I've put the straight razors kind of to the side, but obviously the last time I was on, I think we've always hit, you know, a little bit about, Max's razors, Max Sprecher. He's still sort of the cream of the crop. I feel like he's the only one I ever really hear these days. I know there's a few other smaller artisans. I think Ale, KM razors, they're some of the ones that I've started following a little bit more the past year. Mm-hmm. They make some great blades. But other than that, it you know, everything I see is vintage, which there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, so to kind of speed up to where I'm at now, really my number one razor, which I have right here in front of me, is the Blackland Titanium Blackbird, which I never in a million years thought I would say based on my previous experience with the stainless steel version. Mm-hmm. That provided probably one of the worst shaves of my life, one of the bloodiest shaves of my life.
Yeah.
And
Shane, don't listen to this.
This was years ago, and mind you, I've probably come a longer way since then.
Technique improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% sure that probably had something to do with it as well. But it's been night and day. It's I can't sing its praises enough. And you know, based on all the feedback I've seen, anyone else that's kind of gotten their hands on it has pretty much felt the same. I know Gerard recently used it as well. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, we can, it's so good. It's really so good. So I had the chance to borrow it from a friend, the Blackbird Titanium, and first shave, like I finished, and then I immediately put up my Tatara Masamune, Colonial Silversmith, and my Carve Christopher Bradley all up for sale, and I sold 2 of those razors already. So, and it was wild, one shave, and it just like changed it, like everything. And it's, Yeah, I mean, I had it for a couple of weeks, and, you know, it's like, it shouldn't be this good. It's like you kind of like use it, and you're just like, why is this thing so good? You know, it's kind of loud, you know, like there's definite blade feel, but I would tell people, I'm like, the safety bar and how it glides is like, I feel 100% confident that I'm not going to slice myself up. And I never did. It's so light, so nimble to use. And maybe that's also it, which is weird because, I mean, you know, maybe the stainless steel was heavier, but was it enough to, you know, to kind of put that, you know, kind of emphasis on it? I don't know. Like, I almost wish, like Shane came on, like would come on like after us now, like the fact that the three of us have used it, because like, I have like some, like just some input to give, but it's so good. It is so good. And yeah, it's currently, I would say it's the top razor that I've used. You know, I could literally, that could be a desert island, you know, like razor, you know, one item, that's it. I'm good for sure. It's
yeah, crazy. I feel the same way. And I mean, I've had this for a little while now, and I still feel the same way as I did almost like the first shave. Like even when I'm done, I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, where's this been? Like, and you know, you'll kind of see a theme. I'll get into my other razors too, but
yeah.
Ironically, I've also noticed that I have a tendency to enjoy more of the lighter material razors. So I also, end of last year, was able to try the Henson aluminum razor, which was a very, 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 it's probably the most mild feeling razor I've ever used, but I still got a great shave with it. And, you know, I had no fear, you know, of cutting myself with it, much like, oddly enough, like the Blackbird, titanium. My number two razor is the Carbon Titan. That one's also, that's even lighter than this one because of the carbon handle. But that one, I would kind of like to try the positive plate, the plus that they offer now, because it's a little bit more aggressive, but I still get great shaves with that too. The other one would be my Paradigm single edge razor. That's been, that's been a dream shaver too, since I got my hands on one. And I still like to use the West Coast Shaving. I have the 84 BT, which is stainless steel, but it's a little bit smaller. And that, you know, I still have all three of the different charcoal goods heads that they offer with West Coast Shaving. And my preference, ironically, is still the Toothsome head with that. But all of them can give me great shaves, you know, whenever I decide to use them. So those are the razors that I've got and that I've been using. But the really in the end, like what Gerard said, the Blackbird Titanium, that's definitely the desert shave, the island shave. Yeah, actually, ironically, I've had a couple guys the last like month or so that will message me on Instagram. And I actually got a message today from one of them. And he was asking, he's like, what do you think about the machining of it? And I was like, well, I understand. Like, I know that there's kind of been, I don't necessarily want to say a reputation, but I mean, there's been enough people over time with the Blackland razors that have said that there's been some, you know, some pretty bad machining marks and tooling marks, scratches and things like that. And like my very first Vectra that I had, that actually had quite a few scratches on it. That's why I think when I ended up selling it, I sold it for pretty cheap because of it. And but yeah, I told him, I was like, with mine, like I don't, this one has no issues at all. There's no scratches, no noticeable machining marks. Like it's perfect. Like I have no complaints about it whatsoever. So I know I was kind of lucky, but I understand some people probably are a little concerned. But yeah, you know, to your point, I think you know, if you email Shane about it, like he'll probably take care of it.
Right. And I think that's important to mention, to have a balanced view on things, where because we are in community with other enthusiasts, hobbyists, same thing, Ross, I can confirm, where some people, for especially if we're talking about the Blackbird Titanium, you're talking about a $300 razor. So far, there's only been, I believe, the matte finished, and there are polished ones coming. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, just to reiterate, there are folks who've gotten machine marks. However, for everyone that I know that's contacted Shane from Blackland, he has made it right and replaced, you know, any problems. So I guess that could be either a buyer beware, or at least, you know, something to be aware of.
Right.
But so thanks for sharing your current list. And Ross,
the name. Ross went through his list. I have a list of one.
he named others, but the Paradigm single edge was your previous number one. Is that right?
It was, yeah, actually. And until I tried the Blackbird and the Carbon, yeah, the Paradigm was definitely my number one far and away. But yeah, this Blackbird has just turned my world upside down. So.
Well, there might be a repeating theme on that. So anyway, Gerard, what's your current top five, or, you know, the list that you'd like to share?
I mean, it's funny. Like I said, I sold a couple of razors already, you know, in anticipation of when the next TIs drop to grab one. But Tataramos Muni was definitely on there, but mm-hmm. I just... After using the TI bird, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to grab this thing anymore. And I love that razor. Mm. I really love that razor. It's so smooth. It's really, really nice. Does very efficient. It is a great razor. You know, like if anyone said, "Oh, I want to pick this up," like, dude, go for it. Like it's wonderful. Yeah. It's a wonderful razor. I'd also, you know, put the, what I would consider, you could say, the GOAT razor, 34C, Mercure 34C. I just shaved with it today. And, you know, I don't grab that thing all the time. I really don't. But every time I do, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's why I still have this thing. That's why, like, it still gives me great shaves. I'd also mention the Game Changer 0.84. I borrowed yours. Actually, I still have yours. But
it's totally fine. Totally fine.
Yeah, you know. But I ended up picking one for myself because I just enjoyed it so much. It's also, it might be the best quality, you know, razor at its price point. Like, I think new is $60, and you could find it as cheap as like $40, and, you know, on the used market. For $40, that thing's a steal.
Yeah.
Totally. Absolute steal. And I mean, carved Christopher Bradley is also on there. Never had an issue with the carve. I only had the brass, or I still have it, you know, and whatnot, but, B or C plate, it's fine. I could use that razor also. No issues or anything like that. But yeah, TI Bird is just, it's just crazy, like far and away. It's the Michael Phelps. It's the Usain Bolt, right? You know, of all of it. You know, it's just, it's far and away the leader of the pack as far as favorite razors to use right now. So yeah.
So probably aside from trying the Titanium Blackbird, not too much change since the last time we checked in about kind of current top razors, right? Like from memory, like I think that was more or less intact from the last time we checked in.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Pretty close.
I'm not. And also that could also be like, I'd never consider myself like deeply, deeply into, you know, having rad. Razor acquisition disorder, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, I had just a few
you know, I had what I had, and but I was never like searching for some of the others, and because I was perfectly comfortable just using the razors that I was using already. But yeah, that thing just changed my world, you know, for the better. So.
Well, very similarly, and thanks for sharing your list as well, Gerard. But just like Ross and Gerard have shared, I too have have fallen in love with the Blackbird Titanium from Blackland. I do want to disclose up front that Shane had sent me the Blackbird Titanium as well as a Vector Razor, not related to the podcast, but for reviewing purposes for the YouTube channel. Either way, so take you know what I'm about to say with a grain of salt, and I want to put that up front. But this is my greatest of all time GOAT razor, and it's not because I got for free. It's you heard it. I'm glad that you guys went first, because for those same reasons is why it sits in the spot it does. I'd always thought that I liked a nice hefty razor with substance, and that still remains true. But when I had borrowed a carbon razor with a carbon fiber handle, that started kind of changing my mind that, okay, maybe it depends on the razor head where the weight may or may not matter. And it kind of that progression, when I use this Blackbird Titanium, I was just blown away. From Ross and other people, I'd heard in general that the Blackland razors ran more aggressive, more blade feel, etc. This thing was so smooth, very, very efficient, like deceptively efficient, and just looked awesome. I've mentioned I love the fact that it's named the Blackbird, which the freaking X-Men fly around in. So whenever I'm using it, I hear like like it's, as I'm shaving, it's that's where my mind goes. So all those things combined, that's why it's my current GOAT razor. Is it going to sit there forever? I don't know. These things are fluid. The top five is fluid, but it's like pretty firm, you know, like where it sits. In that, because the rest of the list is, I would say, unordered. Like that might change around and stuff, and there actually is quite a bit of overlap. So aside from Blackbird Titanium over at number one, and then the rest of the list, I would include Charcoal Goods Every Day, which is another recent pickup, and kind of
likewise, I forgot about that one as well.
Oh, you can add it. It can be an honorable mention. Or
there you go. Yeah, it's in there too. It is very good. It's a very good razor too.
I only have a level one. I haven't tried the Every Day. All right, I love that. And I love that razor too.
Hey, you can borrow that one next, because honestly, I'm so happy that the Game Changer was a winner for you. I mean, that's on my list too. Oh, number the third one on my list is the Game Changer 0.84. But I love that razor. It's such a steal for what it is. So the fact that you used it and then like pretty soon after picked up your own, like it's like, all right, my job here, you know, my job here is done.
I picked it up because it was also like a steal of a deal.
Yeah, totally. But I would try the Every Day. So if you're interested, I can send that your way as well. That's a pretty recent pickup that like slid right into this list pretty quickly. So Game Changer, that's three. Carve Christopher Bradley Plate C at number four. And the funny thing is, I just shared this list earlier with someone. What is my number five? This is terrible.
Maybe it was the Tatara.
It's not. I sold my Tatara. I sold my
Tatara. I know you sold it, but I figured that was at the, least
gonna be good. No, Rockwell.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Because, yeah. So I had borrowed Gerard's Rockwell 6S. Thank you, Gerard. And that was my, so that's my number five. That's just also another great value pick, whether you go stainless steel or you go for the chrome version. Gives you options with the different plates and stuff like that. Yeah, Rockwell 6S, it's awesome. It's awesome. So I'll chalk this up. I'm drinking some Old Forester single barrel, and maybe that's just making me a little loopy. But anyway, yeah. That's my list.
Now, you mentioned Rockwell, and you know, like I loaned you my 6S, and like it's funny because I was another one of those razors that
as I was getting other ones, I kind of just like put it off to the side, and then I would shave with it, and I'm just like, dude, this thing's great. this thing's still good, you know? Like, I'm getting like BBS shaves with that thing. And then, you know, I ended up giving it to my brother. And so, like, you know, oh, like he didn't have a stainless steel razor, anything like that. He's not really in the community, but like, you know, I'll just give him shit all the time. And so I gave it to him, and he's just like, dude, this thing's fantastic. I'm like, yeah, it's really good. It's a really good razor also. So
it's, and that's another one I've mentioned from other people where they'll try very expensive razors, hard to find razors. And then when they go back to the Rockwell, they're like, this is still good. This, and sometimes it's like, oh wait, this is actually better, right, than some of the other ones they tried. Like, I think blade feel is often something where you get for people who are really into razors, razor acquisition disorder. They're chasing efficiency, more blade feel, you know, manlier, harder, like faster, all those things, and you just forget that like the humble Rockwell, it kind of has, you know, like the cons against it, I think, are few. It's kind of a large head. So for some people who have larger noses, it's harder to get under the nose, that mustache area. And I think the look of it, right? Like the matte look of the 6S, it might not be everyone's favorite. But aside from that, that's like mostly aesthetic, right? It's like the performance, it's there.
I used to have the 6C back in the day. And yeah, I would definitely agree that the head was pretty bulky. I always found, like, for me, I couldn't go past like the R3 plate. Like, just anything above that was just like too much for me. I might have toyed with like 4 every now and then, but anything above that, I couldn't do it. But then again, that was a long time ago. I probably progressed quite a bit since then. But
even R6, it is not that. It's not that aggressive, you know, it really isn't.
Yeah,
it's really not. So yeah, it might be something worth, you know, taking a look back again.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that as well. But yeah, it was one of those things like I could easily use that thing, you know, no complaints at all. But.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Nice. Well, thanks guys for sharing the razor list. Before I forget, rolling back into things, I need to make a plug. Gerard spearheaded starting up a Discord server for the podcast, for Lather Talk, and really for Wet Shavers somewhere to gather and talk about. Gerard, do you want to talk, give a little background for, quick background for people who might not be familiar with Discord?
Yeah, sure. Discord is, it's an app. It's available for smartphones, iPhone, Android. You can also go online, www.discord.com, etc. But you can chat. I started a Lather Talk Discord where you can chat about just like general shaving stuff about the podcast. That's primarily kind of why I started it. Just because whenever an episode would drop, you know, some people would dialogue in the YouTube comments. If you even have comments on any of the other platforms, I do not look at them, period. Okay. So sorry if you're on Stitcher and you have like some piece of info there, I don't look at it. I've never read anything on there. Okay. And then an Instagram, but Instagram is only, you know, like people would message me and stuff like that. It's not like John is privy to that conversation or anything. So yeah, that's kind of why we started it. There's also, we haven't really utilized it. There's voice chat. So maybe like we can, you know, go on there. Maybe we can do like Discord Live or something along those lines as well. You know, you can
have like people on there and whatnot. And yeah, even right now I'm on it, you know, people are chatting it up, stuff like that. You know, just some other enthusiasts, some other YouTubers, stuff like that. But yeah, drop in, always there for sure. Would love any feedback, any info. Tell us we suck. I don't care. You know, it's fine.
Maybe not that last part, but definitely dissenting opinions, conversation. You want to comment on and kind of give your two cents for the latest topic, something that was interesting from one of our guests. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, this is a great way to consolidate. Also, if because Instagram, it's a very much a solo effort, or there's maybe like one-on-one conversation. So we want somewhere where people can gather together. And, you know, some people are already in Facebook groups, some people are on Reddit, message boards. This is another option. If you have tried and don't like any of the other ones I mentioned, or you want to try just something new, try the Discord. And the way to go there is go to our spiffy brand new website, www.lathertalk.com. And you will find a link to the Discord there. And if you can't find it or it's not working for some reason, at that point, please message me or Gerard, and we'll help you out. So brushes, anything? I don't have anything exciting brush-wise to share.
I mean, I'll probably just give a shout out. Because I've just been like, I've grabbed like probably like four handles recently. Okay. Shout out to Derek Wheeler over at Wild West Brushworks. You know, and that's the thing, we didn't really talk about it or anything like that. But for those of you that don't know, was it 2019?
And
December of 2019,
yeah.
Right before Christmas, you know, Derek's house tragically burned down in a fire. You know, fortunately, like he was living with family nearby, and his house got rebuilt and everything. And during that time, like probably like an 8-9 month hiatus from making brushes, you know, over under Wild West Brushworks, and then he just came back strong, and like I just feel he's just been like putting out like super fire handles. Like his polishing game is just crazy, just gorgeous handles. And he basically puts out two to three brushes a day, like 6 days a week. And you can just, you know, go over to him and whatnot. And so, I picked up like quite a few. I picked up more handles since he's come back than before when the accident happened. Mm. So just a little shout out over to him. I mean, I think all three of us were at least, if we didn't pick it up recently, formerly That Darn Rob, now Chisel and Hound, Ross has his over there. I actually got my handle. It's in the room. It doesn't have a knot on it yet. So, still thinking about what to do with it. Everything like that. Also shout out to Scott over at Declaration. That's something we may talk about with him, but just, was it yesterday? Friday? I don't know, even know.
Yeah.
Yesterday, early morning, he started a drop list. And 2 hours later, he closed that list. Wait list. I'm sorry, drop list. He started a pre-order list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that got so flooded, he closed the pre-orders right away. I feel like there's no one, like, you know, and I don't know, maybe people are hurting, you know, in terms of brushes and stuff like that. But like, it's not like I feel like any of these guys are slowing down.
Right.
It's like, it's crazy. You know, Rob dropped what, 40 brushes, like a little over a week ago, you know, and he's dropping like another like 20, 30 brushes, like, you know, like this week, and like 80-90%, like 95% of them are gone. There's like maybe two handles left. If that, you know, on his website,
I'm currently on the wait list for with Steven over at Dogwood Handcrafts. The last time I looked, I was like, it was at 73 people on his wait list. Wow. And I'm like 58, you know, or whatever. I'm in the high 50s. And I've been on it for like a month. So maybe by Christmas, I'll get one of his brushes. I'll get one of his handles. It's so crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I feel like I think early on with the pandemic, you know, I know like Scott at least had mentioned it, but, you know, getting the normal hair or like sort, you know, basically where he gets his hair from, you know, it was a little bit difficult, I think, early on to kind of acquire that or to get the same amount. So I think maybe it had an impact early on brush makers, but besides that, I mean, it really seems like brush makers are still, they're still burning through things and they're still churning out brushes at incredible paces. I mean, like what you mentioned, you know, Derek, it's good to see him back. I still don't own one of his handles, but as we've all discussed, and I mean, we're always seeing him drop handles and sending pictures to each other. And we're just, you know, we're always amazed at the handles that he's turning out now. And he's on obviously version 9 of the Fanturian, which I'm absolutely blown away with so far. In comparison to obviously like Declaration in terms of a more budget friendly, but, you know, still luxurious type of feel. I think it's a great option if anyone hasn't tried it out yet. But it was really good to see that Scott dropped the pre-order list. I think people obviously have been clamoring for that for years. And I think given how fast he had to close it, I think that's a testament to it. I mean, people are literally just sitting there waiting to just give him their money to get one of his handmade brushes. And so it's really cool. I'm curious to see, you know, if it will be sustained long-term. I think it seems like that's the hope, at least from what I read, is just to kind of see how it does and hopefully be able to do it, you know, long term. But it'll be cool to see how that plays out. But I really feel like it seems like brush makers haven't really been impacted at all. And it's kind of been business as usual over the last year or so, even despite the pandemic. It's I can't think of anyone new that's really popped up. I mean, it seems like it's kind of been business. I think there's some smaller ones that have popped up here and there, but no one that competes with sort of the mainstream, the artisans that we've been talking about. Brushes are still, and I think it's the same with you all, but brushes are still ultimately like, that's the one thing aesthetically, like in the shave gear, that's like what draws my attention the most. I think I can speak for you guys too. I know you guys are big into brushes too. I don't necessarily have a huge collection to back that, but I still like, that's what I gravitate towards. Whenever I see someone's shave of the day, it's usually the brush.
Yeah, totally. And I think all the folks, all the turners that you guys named, they really, I think I just want to add Grizzly Bay, just as far as people who are churning brushes out very regularly, weekly, monthly. They're just each drop, I think, always has nearly double digits sometimes. Yeah, that drop from Chisel and the Hound recently was a great one. I think that was just like multiple brushes. They're like, I could buy that. I could buy that one. Maybe I could buy that one. Stop looking right now. And I did stop looking. I didn't buy one, but you guys did. And I will live vicariously through through you for that. On the flip side, Chisel and the Hound, who you mentioned was previously known as That Darn Rob, on the secondhand market, I came by two excellent brushes for a steal that finally came in today after a week. I posted them a photo over on my Instagram. One is like a resin wood combo, which I think that's one of like I think Rob's specialties. He has done some great work with wood and resin, whatever. Like, you know, those turned out great. And the other one was like a darker resin. Two different ones that I thought it was one pattern based on this dark photo I had, but it actually was two different patterns. And anyway, they have the V4 Fanchurian, which I haven't used one of his knots in a long time. I think V1 or V2 might have been my last. So I can't keep up. You know, I'm not buying brushes that often. I think that I'd have one in each version, but just testing out the ones that came in today, super soft. I can't wait to use them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, you mentioned Grizzly Bay. I'm just going to like do one additional shout out.
Yeah.
With Kyle over at Summer Break Soaps.
Oh,
yes. And out of Nebraska, Summer Break Soaps. Kyle works in special education. You know, and that's where kind of like the you know name of his company comes from. But late last year, he started his turning his own handles and stuff like that. So very small, like, you know, like just a handful of handles. And I mean, it's a part-time gig, I think, for him and stuff like that. But he's like been putting out some killer pours, you know, kind of shapes all over the place as well. And it's kind of cool just like seeing him, you know, tweak his craft and kind of, you know, from the get-go as well. So I have a couple of his handles and stuff like that. Both of them with declaration knots. I'll probably post those and, you know, just to kind of give him a shout out as well. Cause he's just, you know, someone that, yeah, like I'm very, very happy with the quality and impressed as well with his pours. So.
So that's the we're just hitting the various aspects of the hobby. So that was kind of the brush update from the guys. Let's move on to software. Maybe there's kind of some overlap, right, between soap, creams, and post shave. But any product, any artisan stuff, scent wise, whatever that's you guys are really enjoying right now.
I haven't really deviated too much away from. From what I normally use, but you know, some of the ones that have really, I guess, gotten me away from, I guess I'll say like the alcohol splashes in particular, that in terms of alcohol splashes, I think, Malgrooming is still my favorite. But I've found myself over the last few months, you know, especially towards end of last year, I've really been enjoying the Zingari splash, the unscented, as well as the balm. I've still been using Good Oleo quite a bit. That's just fantastic face feel after. And then more recently, which, I was able to try before, their release, but I guess what we're calling the mammoth balm, that formula, which I know it's made by Vita of Chicago Grooming, formerly Oleo, and that stuff is fantastic. It's great. I've found myself using balms more than I ever did before. And for some reason, this winter has actually been particularly harsh on my face. I feel like it's been different this year for some reason. So, you know, having products like that around has definitely helped a lot. And it's kind of nice just to have another option, really. The mammoth balm, I haven't really experienced anything quite like it, so it's nice to have other options out there now.
I'm still using Zingari balm, like it's still so good. I do have the mammoth Chicago Grooming balm in with Hygge, so, and just fantastic. Because of all of the supply chain issues, I've been, you know, I have a couple of Bear Stearns Man's balms as well. Also very nice. It's not as thick as the previous two, but it just like applies really easily. I don't have any, you know, particular qualms about it. Some people talk about the tubs, you know, versus like a pump or a bottle, but it's fine. I have no issues with it either. You know, but at the same time, yeah, just using Good Oleo. I had some Rescue Potion. I think that was Zingari's, like oil oil post shave serum, which is also excellent. And then I was able to snag one of the upcoming, or I guess like relaunching from Declaration, the liniment. So liniment was one of you could say it was the premium post shave offering from Declaration L&L back in the day. And then for a while it was kind of off, it wasn't in production. And then Scott announced somewhat, like, I don't know, maybe within the past month or so, that it was going to come back. And then I was able to get kind of like, I guess like a bad label drop. I don't know, like with, I have Epiphenomenon liniment coming up, or, you know, the one, that's one of the ones coming out. So that it feels really nice as well. And I think maybe like what, when we first started this podcast and had everything over a year ago, we were talking about soap bases and all of these things. It maybe 2020 is the year of post shaves in all of its, you know, permutations, right? Are we going to, you know, go with alcohol-based splashes? Are we going to go with non-alcohol or witch hazel-based splashes? Are we going to go with balms? Are we going to go with liniment? Are we going to go with serums? Are we going to go, what else is going to pop up, you know? And so maybe revisiting that, the topic of skincare, you know, for just for men in general. I know that we have female listeners, but, you know, like, I know this is the vast majority, like, you know, of our listeners are male, and it's just maybe having like a good post-shave and, you know, skincare routine is something that maybe up on the upward trend of 2021. Sorry, maybe I said 2020, 2021.
I think post-shave was pretty hot in 2020. I think. Yeah, those quite a few changes, I feel like, in that department last year. So,
yeah, I've counted amongst my favorite post shave. I think when I was thinking back on what I really liked from 2020 was both Zingari Man's their non alcohol splash, recovery splash, because that thing goes on and the dry down feels like you've put on the balm, which also, in general, I love Zingari Man's post-shave products. I would say even more so than their excellent soaps, because I get them unscented, and they wind up being part of the routine with whatever artisan or commercial product I'm using, right? So that recovery splash is awesome. And then also of note was Holy Cow's toner. So they have both the alcohol splash and this non-alcoholic toner. I think it's witch hazel based. I'm not sure offhand, but
mostly water.
Okay, well,
yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. There's aloe. I think, you know,
it's actually just water, and I'm buying it for the matching label.
Yeah. No. So, no, because I did one of the recent West Coast shaving videos with it, and I used I used the toner, and then I looked at it. I was like, oh, like. It wasn't, I mean, I think there is witch hazel, but the primary ingredient was water and stuff like that. It was aqua.
Okay.
And so, yeah. But no, like, I agree with you. Like, it feels pretty good too, you know?
Yeah.
It feels really nice.
Yeah. And for that one in particular, I like using Centropy, which, even though it has like a dozen different notes, it just comes off as like really clean, inoffensive, and kind of on a subtle side. Like, it might have like a little spice to it, a little lavender, but when it's one of those, like, when I don't have the matching splash or I just don't want anything strong smelling, it works. And then the fact that the toner is like a good formula on top of that, like, all right, you are my you're not unscented, but I'm going to use you like that type of product.
I feel like I've done this in the previous two discussions.
Yeah.
And I have two more like mentions, you know, of people for post-shave. One is Oaken Lab, Chris over at Oaken Lab. Sure. If you guys haven't used his post-shave, it's really good. Like, definitely very, very much under the radar. And I think it's just because it's not enough in enough people's hands. Mm-hmm. It is excellent. I think it is it's and his soaps, his presentation is already, like, you know, awesome, unique sense, you know, in his production, in his pro, in everything that he does. Mm-hmm. You know, his stuff looks fantastic. And then we had already mentioned him, you know, as kind of being the, you know, breakthrough star of 2020, but Spearhead, his flashes also really, really good. He nailed it coming, you know, out of the gate with it. And so, and I think that was introduced under the Seaforth line with Spiced and Heather. For those of you, not Heather from Zingari Man, one of Seaforth's products is named Heather. It's a throwback to one of the vintage, you know, names back in the day. And yeah, it's also a great poché formula. It's really good.
Isn't that one witch hazel based?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is really good. It's very good.
So I know we have been recording for a while now, and I want to be able to throw this question that we've been throwing at all our guests the last few episodes for this new year. I want to give Ross an opportunity to tackle this one, and that is, Ross, can you share with us one prediction that you have in the wet shaving space for the year 2021?
Oof, man, that's definitely that's a tough one. I kind of, like I mentioned earlier, I in general, like, I view kind of wet shaving right now, it's like there's always going to be releases, there's always going to be new things, but I feel like in the last year, and I don't know if this is directly tied back to the pandemic, but I feel like the word hype has been used a little bit less. Hmm. And I kind of view things as being a little more stagnant than it's been in the past. So it's tough to say. I think the wet shaving space is in a good place right now. I think there's so much to offer. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I guess my prediction would be that really, you know, the artisans that have kind of been the mainstay, like, remain at the top. Like, I don't see new people coming up. I just question whether or not there's really space now, just given the improvements over the last couple of years. I think, you know, I think the focus has shifted a lot on scents, with particularly with soap makers, obviously, and that's only going to improve, and it's just going to make it more difficult for anyone else to try to enter that space. But yeah, I guess I don't really have any bold predictions for this year, but I feel like those that are the mainstays, you know, that's what people are going to gravitate towards still. And, you know, I think that's just what everyone's used to. And I think that's going to primarily dominate the sales.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing your prediction with us, Ross. I think that's very much the case. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Not that any of us will be upset if there's, like, Gerard's Soap Shack hits the scene and comes guns blazing and takes everyone down. I won't be mad at that, but I do want to thank you so much, Ross, for joining us today. It's been fun just really doing what we do. I do appreciate, I know, you know, you are a dad, all three of us are dads, but I mean, you know, you're a dad of two little guys. So I, you know, to thank you for lending your time and just talking, you know, just spending your evening with us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. And yeah, shout out to all the parents out there and everyone that's doing the virtual learning right now. You all are amazing. So yeah.
you're all still here.
Yeah, we're still here. Keep going. Here.
You can do it.
Thanks for joining us for this week's podcast. We had such a great conversation with Ross, and hopefully we'll have him on the show again before another year passes by. Remember, you can find Lather Talk on your favorite podcast provider or over on YouTube for the video version. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you're enjoying the show, you can do us a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review. It really helps us out with the algorithm and getting the show suggested to new listeners. We hope you'll join us again in 2 weeks for our next episode with special guest Scott Stewart of Declaration Grooming. See you then.